Hello and welcome to Reeves Dice, a podcast about a bunch of friends sitting down every 2 weeks or so and talking about stuff and bullying the Irishman, apparently. My name is Barry Guigan. With me today, I've got Mr. Zeth Ward.
Hello.
Michael Jones.
Hello.
And Lee.
Hey.
Lee, how are you?
A man with no surname.
Well, Lee, you're like me. You've got an unusual surname, you poor bastard.
Yeah.
Do you have to spell yours everywhere you go?
Oh, yeah. And every time I do it, I have to try not and laugh.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, yes, yours does have an unfortunate connotation.
Oh, it don't bother me in the slightest.
Yeah.
I get a chuckle out of it, so.
Yeah. Mine is just odd. It's just, spell that again, huh? What? Is there a W in there? No. You know, although you could be asked the same question, is there a W in your name?
Exactly.
Yeah. God, we have so much in common, Lee. It's like we're soulmates.
Would you like Mike and I just to step off the call?
It's going to get weird in here.
Just holding hands through the ether. By the way, that echoey voice you hear is because I am in a new location. I have moved to Cityside. I'm in Dublin. And I'm in a room which has no kind of sound-absorbing properties whatsoever. So the connection is amazing.
I'm just assuming you just sat in a room and there's just a laptop in there. There's just
A little awkward because the room is lovely. But the person who rents it, they're not too happy about me being there. So I thought I could tie them up, put them in the wardrobe, it'd be fine. Then they started banging against it. I was like, look, if you just cooperate, I'll be done. I mean, you know yourself, you know. It's crazy. So, look, we have to have a shorter podcast than normal because I need to get the fuck out of Dodge.
You mean this is you've broken in somewhere with your laptop and you're just worried they're going to come home and catch you?
I didn't say
that's
that.
What it sounds like.
That's not what I said. Not using my laptop.
You didn't need to say it.
I'm dedicated to the cause, okay? We agreed we're going to podcast on a certain day at a certain hour. I was here in Dublin and I was like, shit, the lads don't podcast. And they could do it without me, but I wouldn't stand for it. So I found a room. Next time I'll find a better one, don't worry. With a more agreeable host. They didn't even make me dinner before I shoved them in the wardrobe.
Can you also next time make sure you've got at least some clothes on when you start your video call? That'd be great.
Are you on two calls?
I wish.
Mike.
Dairy man.
Every time, every episode. Yeah. No matter what ridiculous shit I come up with, we managed to derail it even further. It's like the train went off the rails. Fuck it. Zeth's putting it in the fucking river. Like, now there's steam everywhere. It's really awkward. You know, you think all that mist would be sexy, but no, it's not.
We've got to keep the old traditions alive.
Oh, Christ. What's your problem, Grucock?
I don't even know where to fucking start.
It's all a bit much.
Well, listen,
come on, Gwyn.
This isn't so much downhill as down mountain at this stage.
Yeah.
It started at a high point.
So did I?
Yeah. So you got a point there.
Come on, Barry. We all know you can pull it back.
A very serious question. I did introduce the podcast with the right name, didn't I? Because I don't remember.
Did you say the name? I don't think you did.
Oh, Jesus.
No, anyway. No, I'm pretty sure you did.
We'll fix it in post.
You're working on the premise that we listened to you.
Oh, that's cruel.
Anyway.
So, what have you been playing, Mike?
Oh, shit, we play video games. We're a video game podcast. Well, I want to start with Michael Jones. Mike. Hi. Do you play video games?
I play video games. I played a couple of video games recently. Do you want me to tell you about them?
I want you to pick one, the one that really interested you.
One.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
And I'll tell you what, you pick that one, and then we'll come to a consensus whether or not you're allowed to talk about another.
Well, I played an older one and a newer one. I'll pick the newer one then, which I played Civilization Beyond Earth.
Do tell.
What happened there? Something fell down.
Something fell down.
Yeah. Anyway... So it's the, it's kind of, I suppose, the spiritual successor to Alpha Centauri, sort of Civilization in space, basically. It plays exactly like Civilization does, as you probably expect. And it looks, from a UI perspective, it looks like a reskinned Civ 5, basically. So I don't know what to say. I mean, you're basically constantly under attack from a lot of the indigenous life, basically, on the place. One big difference I've noticed between this and Civilization V is from the few hours I've played it, is the AI is a lot less. The AI, the other, like, I don't know, I suppose, the other sort of civilizations, I suppose, really, are a lot less aggressive than they are in Civilization V. They're a lot less likely to just go all out war on you just because you might have strayed about five spaces away from their land or something. You know, it's sort of, they're a lot less likely to just decide, you know what, I'm sick of you, I'm going to kill you, you know, so they're a lot nicer that I found. It's sort of, one thing that bugs me about the game is how the tech tree stuff is done, because obviously in Civ 5, you just basically, if you played it, you basically, when you research one tech, it just gives you a list, doesn't it, just so you can pick another one. The tech tree in sort of Beyond Earth is this big, it brings up this big web with hundreds of different things on it, and it's very confusing. It's confusing and a pain in the ass to navigate.
I've played like an hour of it or so, just like when it came out on, was it this Tuesday or last Tuesday?
Last Friday.
I played it for like an hour. My original plan was basically to play it when it launched at midnight, but then they fucked up releasing it on Steam. It didn't come out until like 2:30 in the morning. I was like, yeah, I'm not staying up to play this. So I played it in the morning for an hour. It's like, that, it's what you said, that the new tech tree has completely put me off it. It's so overwhelming. Because before, it'd be, you know, you'd start off in, well, I can't remember where the original sort of started. Like, you know, it was farming, archery, and that was another one. Yeah. You start off with those, and then it'll gradually progress, like, better as you go through the years. And with that one, it's literally just there. Yeah. Everything's on the screen at once.
Yeah, go. It's like just a big, as I say, it's a big, massive, sprawling web that you're just trying to find. Yep. Well, okay, but it took me a while to figure out what half of it meant. I'm like, what are these numbers, and what does this mean? My first game, literally, I was in the game for about an hour. Before I'd actually found the thing that researches colonies so you can expand. I was literally in for an hour before I got that. That's how complicated it is to find your way around it.
I don't understand why they didn't keep it like the last Civ. I really don't understand.
Yeah,
that worked so well.
They were doing pretty well, weren't they? Actually bringing that stuff down and actually making it a little bit more accessible. And then they seemed to have stepped back.
It was still quite in depth. You know, the tech trees went on for bloody ages. You know, you get up to like probably 2,000 years into like a normal Civ 5 game, and you'll be getting like near the space bar. And you know, 2,000 years in, you know, that's probably like a five hour game, 10 hour game, like single game, and like that's still in depth. But now it's just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, the addition of the this quest system they've got is an interesting one, in that I don't know quite how it works. I assume there's a list somewhere of things you're supposed to do. All I know is every so often I do something and it says, oh, you've completed this quest, so you then have... And I'm like, what? Oh, did I? What did I do?
I couldn't find it either.
Yeah, it's like, okay. And then it basically, when you do it, it gives you a list of, like, it gives you basically two options to pick from, and each one does a different thing to your civilization or something, so that's... So I don't know. I'm still trying to find if there. I assume there's a list somewhere that tells you all these things, but I haven't found it yet.
You would hope anyway.
Yeah. So it's sort of. It's not. I mean, that understanding. I've probably played about 5 hours of it, and it's not bad. It's pretty good. It just sort of seems they have made it needless. They have gone back to making it needless, more complex than it needs to be. Sort of.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's the worst example. The tech tree being not very user friendly at all, and they've sort of I can't remember what it was called in Civ 5. It's called the virtue system in Beyond Earth, which is basically every so often you pick a perk from a small tree of things. I think in Civ
culture.
5 it was like. Yeah, culture, that's the one. They've sort of, instead of having about 10 with 10 different ones with about 5, they've got four long ones instead, which you can, and you can put, and in, instead of in Civ 5, where you had to keep you had to fill one tree before you could start another one. In this, you can just put the point anywhere you want. So you can put one in, like, say, engineering, then you can put one in culture, for example. I can't remember what the actual trees are called, but, you know, you can just put them anywhere in any level, which is interesting, I suppose. But, yeah, so apart from those, it is basically like Civ 5. Although, I also find sort of the indigenous aliens were making expansion expanding your area a bit of a pain in the backside at times.
You know,
what were we going to say?
I was going to say, the general, like, UI on Beyond Earth, did you find it to be a lot more, like, cluttered into the corners than it was in Civ 5? It just seems a lot more, like, kind of information all grouped up into tiny areas on the screen.
Sometimes it's hard to find what you actually want to see, because there's that much there.
That's exactly. I play Civ 5 all the time because I play with friends and whatnot, and I played it probably, you know, a day or two before Beyond Earth came out, so it's still like quite fresh in my mind how that looked. So when I'm going into this one, it's a lot more awkward to find everything because of just how they've rearranged the screen. I'm really not a fan.
Yeah. So my basic way of it, if you were really into Civ 5, you'll like it, but it is sort of, as I say, just be aware that it's definitely there's basically a lot more to look at than in Beyond Earth, and not necessarily in a good way. It does get confusing at times, but it's good. It's just, as I say, it could do with decluttering and sort of things being streamlined a bit more, really.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, are you enjoying it? I mean, to boil it right down, I mean, having played Civ 5, are you enjoying moving into Beyond Earth, or is it feel kind of like a needless meander off the civilization? Into the wilderness, yes.
Yeah. It's still enjoyable, as I say, that... Apart from the extra complexity, it is on a basic level, it is still a really enjoyable game to play. I mean, once you've sort of got used to the way the tech stuff works a little bit, it's second or third playthrough, once you know where you want to go, it's sort of a bit easier then. But I mean, so at first it is very. It does mess with you. It does mess with you a lot, especially if you've played a lot of Civ 5. It does sort of.
See, my good reaction is I kind of like tech webs, because with a tech tree you tend to pick a path and you min-max it, whereas a tech web kind of doesn't discourage you necessarily from min-maxing, but you can play around a little bit. You can try different hybrids.
It wouldn't be as bad if there wasn't so many things on it. There's just hundreds of things everywhere. And there doesn't seem to be any. There doesn't appear to be any real organization to it at all. Here's a set of three. Here's a set of three, and it's like there doesn't seem to be much of a connection between them.
And, yeah, that's the problem. I haven't played Atlas in Terraria, so I don't know. I don't know how it comes across in that game. It sounds like maybe it's needlessly complex.
To be honest, I haven't played. I don't remember much about Alpha Centauri because I haven't played it in a very long time. So,
well, you can check in with us if you keep playing it. You can have some feelings change. I'm going to hold you on your second game, because we are actually on a tight time budget tonight.
Yeah.
This is Alice Seth Ward.
Hello.
What have you been up to? Games, life. Lay it down.
Lay it down. I'm still plugging away at Destiny for some reason. Quite sure why.
Still playing that all the time.
Trying to leave this question, and all I can think is why.
I don't know why. So I reached level 20, and it's just kind of, I don't know, a bit weird and a bit complicated after that. But then I think the actual core mechanic, the actual shooting and stuff is just so good, isn't it?
Well, the shooting feels really, really good. I mean, the shooting, there's no way you can say the shooting doesn't feel good. It's just everything else. And also,
the game bit.
Yeah, and I love how it looks. I love that design. But it's the, all the MMO-type questy stuff, like pick up 20 of this shit and...
That doesn't really come into it as a factor until you go above. Until you go above level 20, to be honest.
What level are you, Zeph?
22.
So you're still quite early into it then. Yeah, because since the... I haven't been on it for quite a while now. Because I've had my PS4 and that now. I've got two pieces of raid gear and an exotic, so I'm basically I'll probably hit 29 by the end of tonight.
Yeah,
and I've been doing the raid a lot. Well, I've been doing it once a week to get the like shit from it.
Yeah, the weekly. And,
yeah, the raid is literally completely different to the rest of the game.
Yeah,
the raid on Destiny is fucking fantastic.
I watch people play it, and I don't know. See, again, it always comes back to the thing. I think it's just about how we play games. And it's too social for me. I mean, I just, like, I don't have six friends in real life or five friends in real life. Never mind six that play video games. I mean, never mind six that are available to go play Destiny. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I will play it for 8 hours maybe and just enjoy what it is. And then I want to go and see.
I think there's something to be said just to level 20, you know, and that is something. But it does like Lee's saying, it does change once you get to 20. Part of me just feels a lot of it is just in there, so you just grind constantly, and because I needed to fill up some content, because I mean it's just basically a massive grind from 20 upwards.
It's not even that really once you hit 20, it's when you hit 26, 28, that's literally when the game starts. When you hit 20, it's just, you've hit 20, there's no, you don't unlock anything different, other than you're able to get things with light, but realistically, you can't do the raid until you're at least 26, and realistically, you want to be 28 for it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And the raid, I said the raid is just completely different to the rest of the game, it's like... environment puzzles, platforming, like proper teamwork and like having to like organize things. And while the rest of the game is just basically my opinion with that Destiny now is there is absolutely no point playing Destiny unless you're playing it to do the end game raid stuff. There's absolutely no point whatsoever.
What do you think about did anyone see, so it's a game that you play not just for a weekend or a week, you're going to have to play it in the long term.
Oh, really? So I probably won't play it again after Monday.
Yeah, because this is my next question.
There you go.
They've just announced the first batch of, like, or the first big thing of DLC.
Joe, yeah. Big.
it's like, I don't know about my country, but in your country, it's like £20.
Yep.
Man, yeah, that's quite a lot.
£20 for 3 story missions, 2 strikes, and only 1 on the Xbox. What, 3 multiplayer maps and 1 raid? That's it. That is £20.
Yeah,
that is nothing.
Steep, isn't it?
That content is nothing. Realistically, the raid, once people figured out how to do it, like with the Vault of Glass, like the first Vault of Glass run, like the raid that's on Destiny's like base game, it took the first group who did it like 7 hours to do it because they didn't know how to do it. And then I went through the raid the other day with just 5 friends, and we did it in just over an hour.
Yeah,
all the mechanics are figured out, and realistically, it's going to be the same with the next one. You know, strikes, half hour max they take.
Is there any kind of randomization to it? Like, when you're running that raid again and again and again, is there anything that changes? Like,
No. It's just because the raid's fun just because it's quite like a challenging experience. You know, you won't walk it. There will be times where like the whole team will the whole team will die, and, you know, there is a challenge to it. But realistically, you only do it once a week because you're going to get loot from it once a week. And obviously, once you've got your loot from it that week,
only do the raid once a week.
Well, no, you can keep doing it.
You can do it more, but you don't get anything from it,
Yeah, but after you've done it the first, you only get like loot from it the first time you do it. So after that, there's no point in spending 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours doing it for no reason.
Guys, you can never make fun of me for my taste in anything ever again.
Yeah, we can. We've seen your art book collection, you weirdo.
I don't even have an art book collection. I've got maybe 4.
We don't have the time for this.
Maybe 4 or 5 art books. We will come back to
your analyst.
I'm gonna have to do an inventory check, and I'll get back to you. I did consider the Alien Isolation art book.
Away from Destiny.
Zeth, speak to us.
I've been playing. I had Fantasia Music Evolved to review, that's actually not too bad, despite what you might think initially, I suppose. But it's It's quite good fun.
I'm sorry, but that game looks fucking stupid. I was watching like the giant bomb guys playing it the other day. Oh dear God!
It's all about hand dancing. That's not, you know, code or anything. Or
that's what I'm doing from now on. You are a Zeth Hand Dancer Ward.
Yeah, that's fine. I can't change my PSN name. Sorry, I'll change my Xbox name.
Can you change your real name on PSN so I can see you on Discord?
Yeah, you can.
Maybe I'll just have to change my actual real name.
Let's stop pushing around. What is it? What do you do? Why do you like it? Why is Lee laughing?
Lee's laughing. It is kind of ridiculous. Basically, if you haven't seen it, it's a harmonics game, but you know, by the people that done Rock Band and Dance Central and all that kind of thing, and it's Kinect only, and it's sort of based on Disney's Fantasia work, and it's mainly about waving your hands in certain ways to sort of hit the musical cues, like you would, you know, strum your plastic guitar or whatever, or do a certain dance step, and
but just with your hands.
Yeah, just with your hands. You know, actually, not when you're actually doing movement around the hub world, you move your body as well. You step from side to side. So it's I don't know. It's not. It hasn't got a lot of real Disney feel to it, insofar as you know, there's no real recognizable characters kicking around and stuff like that. It's more sort of working on the sort of feel of Fantasia, which is sort of like I'm trying to remember. It's just movement to music. Fantasia in the end, that was the sort of plan of it. It was sort of animation to the different scores, but the music score is a little bit weird as well. It's not like all orchestral and stuff like the actual movie. You've got I think there's like Lady Gaga in it, and Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody's in it, and just odd things like that. But I don't know. For what it is, it's fine.
Now, you have kids.
I do.
What do they think of it? Is it like, I don't mean to say, is it a kids' game? Is it a grown-up game? It doesn't have a broad appeal. It's something you can sit people in front of and be like,
It's a family-oriented game. You know, it's one of those things you could get someone for Christmas and break it out for Christmas. One of those sort of things, you know?
Can you play it together? Is there a two-player?
Yeah, you can. It's a little bit... No, no, actually it works all right in two-player, to be honest. But it is two-player. It is limited. And one of the things it does do, which is quite annoying, is it hides a lot of the game until quite far in. So you sort of do a tutorial that takes, I don't know, maybe about 5-10 minutes. It shows you the basics, you know, these are the hand movements, this is what you do with this and stuff like that. And once you've sort of done all that, you think, great, I'm going to get into the game now. But actually what happens is you then go through about another hour's worth of just sort of the mechanics again. And each mechanic is explained through a song. So you're talking about 3 to 4 minutes per song, plus the other stuff side and side. So they kind of just really, really hide all that stuff away.
In the interest of time, I suggest people go and look at the giant bomb quick look if you want to see.
If you want to laugh, go and look at them. But, you know, if you've got kids or if you actually want a Kinect game that works, you know, it's adequately fine.
Like, that's one of those games that, like, I don't think it's for us. And what I mean by that is, for us, it's like people who sit down and want to play a video game for, like, you know, on a Saturday evening, you know, for, like, three or four hours. Just, I don't even do that anymore. What am I saying? But you know what I mean? Like, really kind of sit down and go for it, kind of, on your own or with a bunch of friends and headsets and running raids and shit. Like, that seems to be, like, get people in, play for, you know, maybe 20, 25, half an hour, and kind of relax and have a good time and then turn it off again. It seems to be that kind of game. Am I right, or am I completely off the ball?
Was that was for Destiny, did you say?
Fantasia.
Oh, Fantasia, sorry. Couldn't hear you.
Yeah, like for Destiny, I don't know about you, but I just get a few friends around together for 25 minutes, we all look at the screen and say, well, that was fun.
That was fun. I enjoyed that. Yeah, it's the kind of thing you might throw on for a bit. There's a party mode that unlocks a lot of the stuff, so you don't have to mess around. And, you know, it's one of those things you can have a few drinks or whatever, but it's not quite as inclusive or quite as – you don't feel quite so good about it. It's not quite the same as strumming a plastic guitar and feeling like a bit of a rock god or dancing around and strutting your moves. You just kind of – you are just wobbling your hands around at the end of the day.
You're not a rock god. You're a musical wizard.
I am.
You're a musical wizard.
I'm a lyrical gangster. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, I answer you. Yeah, well, that's... I'm enchanted.
Yes, anyway, so...
In the interest of time, let's keep motoring on. I went to Preston in the U of K. And
how was it for you?
It doesn't really work for America, for the United Kingdom as it does for America. The US of A and the U of K.
What? How did it control? Was it all right?
Well, actually, that's another thing. Oh, Christ. Okay, so one story is connected to this one. So I went to the UK, flew in through Manchester, went up, was there a few days, and I went to do a game, and we don't have game in Ireland anymore, so this was quite a novelty for me, especially when I realised that there was a clearance sale on a whole bunch of PS3 360 games. Like, I got Resistance 2 and 3 for like £5 or something. You know? One of the games that
got ripped off.
Well,
that was harsh.
I really enjoyed what I played at Resistance.
Resistance 2 is okay, and 3 was all right. Yeah. They're good looking games, at least.
Yeah, well, I want to check them out. But the other game I picked up, this was 2 weeks ago, was Valkyria Chronicles. And I sit down, I get about 4 hours into Valkyria Chronicles, and then I find out it's coming to PC. So I was coming to this podcast going, like, fuck, my games. Like, all this new stuff coming out, and I played Valkyria Chronicles. But actually, it's top. Howsoever, coming back from Manchester, I just had a backpack. I only ever bring carry-on luggage. And the backpack set off security, because Manchester security is fucking crazy. What is up with your country and airport security? I'm only trying to leave. Would you not just let me get the fuck out of England? You know, you're trying to keep us there for 800 years. It's ridiculous. In any case.
You're trying to say we were trying to oppress you at the airport?
Oh, I would never say that.
Were they frisking you for potatoes?
No. No, they ran my bag through twice, and when they opened it anyway. And, admittedly, it was a little ridiculous because I had brought my Visa and my 3DS. I always bring my 3DS because I like to street pass at airports. I am just that cool, you know? And
you are that guy.
I had pretensions of playing Persona 4 when I was in the UK, so I brought the Vita. I also, however, brought the iPad Mini because I was working, and that's my work thing, like for reading papers and stuff. And I had my laptop because I have to also write papers. However, because I had been to game, I also had 6 Blu-ray cases. I had Resistance 2 and 3, Valkyria Chronicles, and then 3 movies. And they opened the bag, and it was just this mess of wires and video games and consoles, and I had to take them all out because they had to look at all the electronics. And the fella, he was new, young fella, maybe my age, and he just looks up at me, kind of just slacked out, kind of goes, "Who's a gamer, yeah?" And I'm raging because I missed my opportunity to go, "Yeah, I'm a gamer, and I'm running from my gate." And I missed the opportunity. I only thought about it sitting on the plane. I swear to God, like, what? That is a good joke. It would have had it been timely.
I'm not going to lie, that was a shit joke.
That wasn't the best. I
appreciate your support at this difficult time. hopefully the burns will heal. I fear the mental scars will never leave. Anyway. Oh.
We are apologise. We are experiencing technical difficulties with our Barry.
Not even a polite chuckle. Oh, anyway, Valkyria Chronicles is... Fuck you guys.
You wish. In your dreams.
Why don't we even bother? I mean, if Mike told that joke, you all would have chuckled for your kids.
Well, yeah. We respect Mike.
I'll be honest. I'll be honest. I tuned out and didn't even hear the joke. So that's the only. Well, that's the only reason I'm not reacting. No, don't bother. We haven't got time.
Flying to England, and I was going to be there a few days, so I had a couple of consoles, Mike. But no, I played Valkyria Chronicles. That game's fucking amazing. I love it.
Sorry to interrupt you, Barry, but that joke did not take the biscuit.
Oh dear!
It went totally biscuit.
Talking of bad jokes.
Is this not a recurring theme on the show? Barry's Biscuit Minute.
You know what?
We don't have time for the Biscuit Minute this week.
From the next episode forward,
reused biscuits.
I'm going to reuse
biscuits. No one wants that, do they?
I'm going to have an agenda. I'm going to have time slots for you all.
You're going to not have broken into someone else's house.
I will have maybe not have broken
into. Tell a shit joke.
Hey. That joke.
No, you can't go that far. You're still going to tell a shit joke.
You're a shit joke. Yeah.
For anyone
that was better.
For the two people who will get this joke, basically, for anyone who listened to Podtoid, back in the day, Barry is basically the Sumit Sarkar of this podcast. He basically gets abused for the whole show.
Yay. Moving on, Barry.
Two people Valkyria listening Chronicles. Got that reference.
Yeah. Tell us about Valkyria Chronicles. So and also, I want to know all about your... you must have played The Evil Within, surely.
Yes, I have played The Evil Within.
Why are you talking about Valkyrie fucking Chronicles when you played Evil Within?
Because he likes art books.
Because Valkyria Chronicles is fucking awesome, and we only have one game.
Wasn't Valkyria Chronicles shit when it came out?
Valkyria Chronicles
is amazing. It's like
XCOM mixed with Advance Wars, mixed with a bit of Fire Emblem.
Fucking awful.
Turn-based strategy with real-time elements, yo.
Anyway, Evil Within.
So, Valkyria Chronicles is about a dude who's in a mental hospital who... Evil Within... You know what? I even had a game to talk about, and you've all decided I'm not allowed to talk about it. I have to talk about The Evil Within.
Because it's a game that came out like 6 years ago.
Valkyria Chronicles is coming to PC in November.
It is.
That's what I'm saying. Worms won't have a port to the Xbox, so let's more have a party.
It is more timely to talk about Valkyria Chronicles than The Evil Within, because by the time this podcast goes out, the Valkyria Chronicles will be an impending release for some people, whereas Evil Within is a couple of weeks old at this stage.
You know, people who have played Valkyria Chronicles have already played Valkyria Chronicles.
There's a sizable body of work on the internet about Valkyria Chronicles.
I would posit there's not enough.
Anyway, tell us about whatever it is.
Fine, fuck you.
tell us about fuck
Alien
you.
I played Alien Isolation.
You played a bit more this week.
A little bit. It was amazing. So I played Super Smash Bros. For 3 years. So I played Snake for the Nokia 3210.
That was a good game.
Oh, man. Talk about purity. Speaking of Snake, I played Pix the Cat, which is kind of like Snake if Snake was... That's a really good game. That was a
pretty good, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
It's trippy, man.
I am enjoying it.
It's kind of slow. But by the way,
you can see the next part of the level you're going to go to in miniature.
Sometimes you have to go back to the previous level, come out and go in another entrance.
Oh, you're blowing my mind.
Oh, it's amazing. Guys, play Pix the Cat, you know? So Pix the Cat is like, it's set in like layers of a television set, and you have to pick up these eggs, which turn into birds, and you have to lay them then through these particular circles. And if you pick up all the chicks first or all the eggs first, you can get a bonus compared to if you pick up some of the eggs and then start dropping them before you pick up the rest. And the reason that is more difficult, first of all, is because the patterns are, you know, aligned in some ways that you have to go specific routes, but also because the more eggs that you pick up, you grow the length that you of the thing. You can crash into the back of yourself, in other words, just like Snake. But as you put them in the circles, you reduce in size again, or you reduce in the number of followers. So the longer the tail goes, you get more points, but you risk crashing into it. So it's a kind of a really nice risk reward kind of part of that game that I really enjoy. And you're just racing through all these boards, trying to get down as bottom as possible. And at a certain point, it starts to trip out. Like, you know, you're playing and the screen starts to zoom in. Or at the very end of it, when you run out of time, it just fucking whips you back through all the mazes. It's pretty intense, and it starts really slow. You don't even notice ramping up the way it does. So that's The Evil Within. No, that's Pix the Cat.
Evil Within, which is...
Very briefly, The Evil Within, I've only played a little bit more.
It's Pix the Evil Within Cat Chronicles.
Yes. I'm on like...
It added Valkyries.
Without any Valkyries, yes. It has real-time elements because it is in real time. The Evil Within, I'm only up to about Chapter 5 or so. Because I was away, I didn't actually play that many video games, as you might have guessed. But I really like The Evil Within. I really, really like it. And I can see why someone would hate The Evil Within.
You get the real feeling that is sort of the epitome of the much-used Marmite game sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. It and Alien Isolation. I think, you know, in the same way that I just don't like Destiny, you know, and I think that really brings to the fore, like, the difference in tastes. You know,
You don't have any, and we do.
One thing about Evil Within, The Evil Within is pretty much like...
Oh, you.
It's very much like The Last of Us in some ways. Like, sneaking up on people, stabbing them.
That's a great game.
Conserving ammo. It's not as... Like, The Last of Us is way better. Like, that's not even a discussion worth having. But it plays similar to The Last of Us by way of Resident Evil and looks like Bloodborne.
in terms of, especially chapter 3, I think, in the village, has a real Bloodborne-y type feel, at least what they've shown us. The Evil Within, I'm going to talk about it more when I beat it, because it seems to be changing a little bit. It seems to be less survival horror-y. I'm getting a bit more ammo. I tend to have, you know, I tend to almost have more ammo than I need at this stage, because I never use it. I'm one of those people that, like, I won't fire a bullet, because what if I need that bullet in 7 hours? You know, so
I think it tends to, yeah. What I've heard is it's sort of heavy on the resource management at up towards the start.
Yeah.
And then eases
what I've understood, I've even passed that point. So I'm thinking at some point I'm just going to let loose and just start using all those bullets. You can do really cool things, like you've got proximity mines, proximity arrows. I don't mind throwing those down because you can pick them up if they're not used. Harpoon gun is pretty vicious. The crossbow in general is pretty fun to use. The borders, much like Resident Evil 4, it's got borders top and bottom of the screen. I fear the PC, they've released a patch that you can remove those borders.
Yes, yeah.
The borders, once you start playing, they don't really bother. Like, once I start playing, after like five, they don't bother me from the beginning. After 5 minutes, I don't really even notice. But every now and again, you kind of become aware of just how constricted your view is up and down. Like, there are very few instances where you're going to have to. Like, it's not a very like a vertical game. It's not like you're looking up into balconies and trying to be aware of situations. The only time it's really a problem is when you're climbing ladders or going up or down ladders, and your view is already constricted because the camera's hooked tighter. So that can be a bit annoying. That's when you really become aware of it. But I'm going to have to check back in when I play more of it. Like,
yeah.
I'll probably play some over the weekend. But yeah, I really wanted to talk about Valkyria Chronicles, and now we're almost out of time.
Why don't you do a little finishing on Valkyria Chronicles then? Why don't you quantify why you're excited to be playing it so many years after release?
Why not elaborate? I am excited because I like strategy games, and I like the art style of this. It's really dumb and Japanese. Like, do you know what I mean? It's really cartoony, and you know, it's just so silly. It's so lighthearted, and it's about a war. It's like, it's World War II. They've even got their analogs for like the Jews, the Germans, the Nazis. The Germans were the Nazis for the most part. And like, it's just so, you know, peppy, you know, and the combat is really cool. It's really satisfying. You pick your units, you throw them in there. You've kind of turned me off talking about it now. Looking at that. Lee, what have you got to talk about?
We're running a bit short of time, so I literally have to go in like a minute.
Well, give us your Lee's...
Lee's minute.
Lee's loquacious... games.
Love sausage. Tell us about the Overdrive.
Lee, you have a minute. Talk about whatever the fuck you want to talk. Lee?
I think he's already gone.
He's disappeared into the ether.
God damn you, Brewcock.
Had he said
Overdrive?
Yes.
No, I think he's
gone. Are you fucking serious? I thought he hadn't played anything. I thought he'd just been playing Destiny.
He said in the email thread he'd been playing Sunset Overdrive.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just wanna
make one point, and then we can move on. He thought he wanted to talk about Sunset Overdrive, but it's actually about ethics and game journalism. Okay, that's it.
That's a way better joke than my gamer getting to the gate.
That's even worse.
That's the one I missed.
You're back.
Tell us about Sunset Overdrive very briefly.
It's the best game currently on the next-gen platforms.
Really? Why?
It is fucking hilarious the whole way through. And it's just insane to play. I can't recommend it enough. It's one of those games that's going to get looked over completely because like all the big games that are coming out now of like Cod Advanced Warfare and the Master Chief Collection and all the rest of the shit. But like, it's just pure insanity. It's the only way to describe it.
Yeah, I heard that it starts off a bit slower, but then picks right up, sort of thing.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. People go, oh, yeah, it's quite slow. It's like it's slow for like half an hour when it's teaching you how to play.
Yeah.
It's not like, and it's one of those games where you play more in the game, you do get way more powerful and quicker and faster. But, and people are going, oh, well, you should have told this earlier. But it's like, you're told so many different things at the start, but just trying to get you to figure out how to get around the city easily and. Yeah, you know, how the combat works with all like the amps and like the modifiers. Like if they told you all of that at the start, you would forget everything. And they've done it so well because basically at the start, you know, you learn like the jumping, the grinding, like how to like bouncing and dive bombs and all this sort of stuff, like the basics. And then like you learn how to like do air dashes in like boosts on rails, and then you learn how to do like super jumps, and it's just all little things that like once you play the game and you gradually learn how to do them, it, you know, it's easy enough. But if at the start of the game someone went, here's everything, 5 minutes, you wouldn't have a fucking clue.
So one of the things that it reminds me of, I mean, I played it a bit at Eurogamer and I've looked at it since, it kind of reminds me as if someone took some of the weaponry and the stupidness from the Ratchet and Clank games, mixed it up with Crackdown, and then sort of added a bit of something else to it, and then there you are, kind of thing.
It'd be more the weapons of Dead Rising, basically, you know, the combo weapons, you know, the
pistol,
things like that. There's like hairspray bombs, and okay, there's like guns called the Dirty Harry, which, you know, it's like an old school like revolver, and you know, just kind of silly guns like that, but it's more like mental ones. And then, yeah, so you got that side of it for Dead Rising. Then it's quite a lot of Borderlands-esque with the whole, like, how the quests, some of the quests work. But, again, one of the big complaints I've seen in different reviews and that, it's just been, you know, the missions are quite the same. It's like, well, they're kind of, yeah, you know, the side quests, a lot of the side quests, the go here, kill this, go here, collect this. But, you know, it's the dialogue that is with the quest. If you're not listening to it, yeah, Sunset Overdrive is still a fun game just to play, but it's just the actual story and the dialogue between the characters. It's easy, one of the funniest games I think I've ever played.
And it's an open world game. I mean, how's the open worldliness of it? It sounds like it's fun. It's fun to move around. Is there stuff to do outside the beaten track?
There are so many collectibles. So many. Because like you have how the amps in the game work is the amps are basically modifiers of the character. So things like it all comes down to the multiplier. Like basically you have like a bar which you fill up, and it's in three stages. And every time you hit each stage after a certain number of points, you become even more powerful. And obviously you can lose that like three stage thing if you like die and things like that. And so you get things like you'll be able to grind on rails and fire will spray out behind you. You can hit you hit people and bolts of lightning come from the sky it's awesome.
And what about in terms of what they showed in terms of say enemy variety, things you have to fight? I've seen a few robots and then some energy zombies or energy drink zombies. And then,
yeah. You have like your basic.
So what I mean is, do they force you to try different tactics on different enemies? Do they keep it interesting to fight?
You can do. That's it, because that's the point of the amps. Like the amps and the weapons. Obviously, all the weapons have like a. You can add amps to weapons as well. And then you can like combine different amps. So you'll have, say, you'll use an override thing, which like just generic, like base stat increases. You'll add some to your character, which are like, will do more, you'll do 10% more fire damage. So then you'll then add an amp to a gun, which would be like you have a chance of shooting someone and then exploding into flames and setting everything on fire around them. And then you'll use the thing for grinding where you'll spray fire out from behind you. And there's like things like that. Basically, you combine everything just to like, you know, you focus on certain elements and there's like, you know, you have different ones like lightning and all, you know, different kinds.
And that sounds,
it's so good.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around it because it sounds like it could be a fun game, and it sounds like it's an open world game where you move around. I mean, that's right up my alley, but I don't know, man. Like, I'm glad it came good for them because I like Insomniac, you know. And after Fuse, those poor bastards.
It's like, such a shame the time of year it's coming out.
Well, just remember, Xbox One has got a temporary price code in the US. You can get an Xbox One with Sunset Overdrive for $350.
It is part of a
really cheap bundle at the moment.
I can't recommend it enough. It's the most fun I've had in the game. A lot of single player game is so long.
Yeah,
and like it's some of the later end game. Not I say end game, but basically all of the actual story missions. You know, they may have like the very. If you boil it down, yeah, it is basically go here, kill this, go here, collect that. But it's just a completely different. The only way you can explain most of the game is it's insanity.
Yeah.
It's like you'll do things like there's a side mission quite later on in the game, so it's not really spoilery. But you make a sword, but the idea is
you have to
make
Destiny.
But it's more like this sword is Well, you forge it in a nuclear power plant by making it like explode.
That makes more sense than Destiny's Sword, in fairness.
Yeah. What about Destiny's Sword? You've
Destiny hate, haven't you? Destiny's Sword.
Well, I just like making fun of it. The Crota, the Sword of Crota.
You're making up random stuff.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not. The Sword of Crota.
Sword of Crota, yeah, you kill the three yellow guys. The Hive guys.
Clearly the lore is stuck in your head, though. So you make a sword by blowing up a nuclear power plant.
As you
do. To give it atomic powers.
Actually, that sounds kind of cool.
And that's literally just, like, and there's so many more. Like the end of the game, I'm not going to say it because it's not, if you spoil it, kind of, you know, ruins it. But the last mission in the game is fucking hilarious. It is absolutely brilliant. The one thing I love in the game, it happens constantly throughout it, actually, is the game constantly pokes fun at the fact that it knows it's a game. Like, just things. Like, when you first load the game up, he'll, like, kick the camera back into place. And it's just little things like that. It knows it's a game, and it knows that because it's a game, it can be ridiculous. It's so good. Buy it. You have to buy it. So it's out, well, Friday, well, tomorrow.
It'll be out just as you're listening to this, probably.
Yeah, that's exactly. I've had it for about a week now, and I'm nearing, like, getting all, I've done obviously the story side stuff, and I've probably played a good 20-25 hours of it so far, and I'd still love it.
Speaking of game endings, did anyone play the end of Shadow of Mordor? Did anyone beat Shadow of Mordor?
Yeah,
no, I've not played it yet.
The game is great, the ending of it is complete pants.
I'm not gonna lie, I played it, you know, cause I reviewed it, and I don't remember what happened at the end.
I don't even think it's a spoiler to say it, but I won't say it, but it's.
I really
just know
don't...
that the best thing about that game is that they kicked.
Oh, wait, I remember. Yeah, it was that really shit boss fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Just know that they kick you back into the game so you can do all better fun stuff. Also, did it unlock a whole bunch of powers after you beat the game? Like being able to set people to betray and all the rest of it? I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, you got that anyway.
Ah, maybe I'm just shit at games. So what you're saying about Sunset Overdrive is that it's great, but it's no Valkyria Chronicles.
But what
is? You mean it didn't come out 6 years ago?
That's a good statement, James. What is? Tune in next week and
find out what is Valkyrie.
In the next installment of Reused Assets, where the team and I will have gotten together, we will have compiled an exhaustive list of what is, in fact, Valkyrie Chronicles.
Or not.
No, definitely not. Well, no, I won't be here for that. Well, fuck that. I don't hear about that shitty game.
It's a video game. There we go. Done.
The video games.
Bye.
I'm out.